Jesus is at a Pharisee's house. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a real delight to be here today. My name is Julia. I've brought my shopping bag, okay? I live in Whitley Bay. I work for CAP and have done for, 14 years now. So some of you might be aware that previously there was a CAP debt centre around the corner based at Acorn. And I had the pleasure of managing that centre for a good number of years. However, I am now what we call an area manager with CAP, so that means I get to look after all the amazing CAP centres across the northeast of England, of which we have about 15 at the moment. So those CAP centres deliver an absolutely brilliant work, and it's great to have Linda with us this morning from one of our Newcastle centres. So if you want to know a bit more about the day-to-day, this is how it works, talk to Linda. She'll tell you the reality. And Linda's going to be supporting Mick as he ventures into the wonders of running the CAP Centre here. So it really is a delight to see that you're going to pick this work up. And I say you because I mean you. It's not all on him. It's a whole church thing, running a CAP debt centre. And without your help and without your support and without your love and your prayers, this thing won't work. So it really is for all of you in some way to get involved. So as I chat to you this morning, I'd like you to maybe be thinking in the back of your mind, so what can I do? How could I help? What sort of encouragement can I be? Not just to make, but to the dozens of clients that he will one day, quite soon, be seeing around Whitley Bay, North Shields, in our local area. So I'll be thinking of that. But before I get into the depths of scripture or thinking about CAP a bit more, I want to ask you a question. Have you been on holiday? Anytime? Yeah? You're allowed to nod and say yes and put your hands up and things. That's fine. Well done. Have you flown, perhaps, or got a train, or maybe hired a car? Yeah? Right, here's a question. You can put your hand up to this one. Have you ever had an upgrade? So, brilliant. And when you get an upgrade, whether it's a hotel upgrade, or a plane upgrade, or perhaps a thrown into first class on the train even? Or have you noticed sometimes if you hire a small car and they don't have any left, they give you a bigger one? Well, the crazy thing is, once we were going down to Wales and my little car was on its last legs, so we decided we'd hire a car for our holiday. And we just hired a small car. We didn't need a big one. It was just myself and my husband. And off we went to pick up the car, and lo and behold, they didn't have any. And they gave us this huge, huge big thing. Don't ask me what it was. It was just big. I think it was black, but it was big. And so off we went, brilliant on the motorway, absolutely perfect. You get down to Wales. And we know what the roads are like in Wales, don't we? Very narrow. And off we were trying to get, I think we were going to Strumblehead or somewhere down Pembrokeshire way. And we're trying to get down these little lanes. And I was driving and a tractor appeared. And I'm thinking, I can't reverse this thing. It's too big. And the guy in the tractor, the farmer, he just laughed at me because I was making such a mess to the point my husband had to get out of the car, get in and sort it out. But an upgrade can be good. but not on narrow roads in Wales. But, you know, it struck me reading this passage that Helen read to us there, that upgrades can be good, and they're especially good for those that wouldn't otherwise get them. They're especially good for some of the folk that couldn't afford some of the things that you and I perhaps take for granted. They're especially good. And in this passage, Jesus talks about not getting the best seat, not having the upgrade, not rushing to the banquet and claiming the top table, perhaps as you might do at a wedding if you were invited and you were a close family, but not rushing to do that. But Jesus says, no, take a back seat. Go and sit in the back row, sit in the drafty seat. Sit in the seat that's a bit ragged and a bit tatty, perhaps. Don't rush for the best. Don't push your way to the coffee first. I'll be watching. Make sure you let others go first. And that is probably something that we'd all say, isn't it? You know, we prefer others' needs and all that sort of thing. But Jesus even goes a step further. He says, when you have a banquet, a meal, don't just invite your family or your good friends. Invite those who may not get an invite. It's great to hear that you're going to have these meals in a couple of weeks' time. If I wasn't preaching at the Bay Church, I might come. But it's great that you're going to be inviting one another. And can I add a little challenge on the end of that? Look out for those who might not get the invite. Be the inviter. Because this is what Jesus says in this passage, doesn't he? Be the inviter. And I know that as Jesus begins to have an impact on the lives of people out in your community, then there will be people coming to church who are not used to being invited, who find it a bit strange and a bit weird sitting here on a Sunday morning. Can you be the inviter to them? Can you be the person who sits beside them? Can you be the person that prefers their need to your need? Can you be the person who whispers in their ear, right, we're just doing this because, or this is a bit you stand up, this is a bit you sit down, because they'll not know. Think about the place that you have least understanding of. I often think of it like this. If somebody said to me, we're going into a betting shop, I'd be like, what? I wouldn't have a clue what to do, what language to use, what to say, how to use the machines or whatever they have these days. I wouldn't have a clue. That's what it's like for a stranger to come in here on a Sunday morning. They haven't a clue what this is all about. They haven't a clue what the words on the screen are, or the songs that are sung, or even the Bible that's read from, or the way that we pray. But give them priority. Give them the best seat, because that is what Jesus tells us to do. And the best seat is the one that prefers their need. And you will see people like that as we move into inviting clients along to church. It's wonderful in a sense this morning, because already you've touched on some of the great values that CAP has. And it was interesting as you led our prayers this morning that being Christ-centered is actually one of the key values that CAP has as well. We are a Christ-centered organization, and all that we do comes from the heart of Christ. He is the one that leads our vision. He is the one that leads the work that we do. He is the one that anoints and blesses and brings transformation. And he is the one that we will always honor and give the glory to. So it's wonderful to hear that we're on the same page, yourselves with your values and with CAP, one of CAP's values as well. Now, as we read that passage, as Helen shared that passage with us, within it we catch something of Jesus' compassion, don't we? We catch something of the sort of person he is, who has a huge heart for those that perhaps we wouldn't usually cross paths with. A huge heart that will open the door into their lives as we lovingly draw them towards him. Now, CAP reflects his compassion in our Christ-centeredness, of course, and reflects his compassion through our threefold ministry. And that threefold ministry is something, again, that you've already mentioned this morning. And the first part of it is about seeing lives transformed. Can you imagine what it must be like to carry around the weight of debt for years? Imagine a massive rucksack on your back, filled with stones, weighed down by debt. It's horrendous. It brings isolation. It cuts them off from other people. It brings fear. It brings anxiety. Their self-worth plummets. They try to make ends meet, but they just can't. And we are seeing more and more people stuck in negative budgets or broken budgets because no matter what they do, they cannot make those budgets balance. Some of that is down to the cost of living. Some of that is down to just awful life circumstances that they've been through. Yet, as people like Mick and Linda go into the homes of these people, their lives begin to transform. We're going to watch a video in a little while, and we'll hear the story of one of our clients whose life was transformed. But not just transformed because we can enable them to lift that debt. We don't pay their debts off for them, but we enable them to either repay them or we'll give them the option to go through insolvency. We don't just get them out of debt and say, off you go, because that's not just what our Christ-centeredness is about, is it? Our Christ-centeredness is actually about sharing Jesus with them too. And so as Mick goes and chats with our clients, and maybe some of you will go with him, because he's going to need a bunch of friends to go with him because he can't go on his own. So he's going to need some of you to go with him and visit some clients as well. And if he does that, perhaps you might get the opportunity to share something of your relationship with Jesus and your faith in him as well. So we're looking to see lives transformed, one, by lifting the weight of debt, but also by seeing them come to know Jesus for themselves. And what a joy that is. In all the years that I worked on what we call the front line, if you like, being out and about with clients, that was always my biggest thrill, when we see people come to know Jesus. The second part of our vision is to work with thriving churches like yourselves, a church that loves Jesus, a church that resounds Jesus as you worship, a church that prays, a church that is Bible-believing, a church that wants to reach out to their community. And as such, as we see the church thrive, all CAP wants to do is give you the tools to help you thrive all the more and give you the tools of being able to get people out of debt through mixed leadership on this and give you those tools so you can reach a community who are desperate at this time for help with their debts. And the third part of our vision, and you might think this is a bit big, and it is to see an end to UK poverty. I don't need to tell you the stats. I don't need to tell you the difficulties in this country right now. But it's tough. It's hard. But our belief is that when the church stands up and takes its place, then we can see an end to UK poverty. So I want to say thank you to you now for standing up and taking your place as we seek to bring part of that vision into play. Part of the work that CAP does is petition Parliament on a regular basis about various aspects of life for people. You might remember a little while ago there was discussion about the payday lenders and the extortionate interest rates. Well, CAP had a hand in putting a cap on those. CAP did the cap with other debt agencies as well. But we stood together, united, and brought that about. We brought about some work we've been doing with gas and electricity prepayment meters, and we've brought the level of some of the charges on those down, but we are seeking now to make the charges the same as anybody else who might pay direct debit. Why should the poor pay more than the rich? Doesn't make sense. So we are now petitioning Parliament in order to see a change in that law. We were delighted when the fees for the debt relief orders, that's a form of insolvency that we often offer our clients, to see those fees completely slashed, gone now, in the last budget, and the criteria that enables more of our clients to go through that is changing as well. So we were absolutely delighted. Again, we've been working with various select committees over the years to get those things done. So it's an absolute delight, and we give all the glory to God. We couldn't quite believe what we were hearing on Budget Day, because they hadn't told us, they just did it. So yeah, all the glory most definitely goes to God. And they're the sorts of things that on the big picture scale, you can trust us to be working on. When Luke, in this passage, he tells us the part that Helen read, but he doesn't leave the story there. And you might like to have a look at the rest of it at some point. But later on, he goes on to say this. He then says, he goes on to tell a parable, and the servants are sent to invite the rich and the famous and their friends and their family to the banquet. They haven't quite got the hang of this, have they? But the servants come back and they say, but nobody can come. They've all got excuses. They've all gone somewhere else. They can't come. And Jesus says this to them. He says, go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. They said, sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has already been done, and we've still got room. He says, well, go on out again, go to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. And I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. You see, there's always room for more. And it's quite nice to see some empty seats, and we can get lots up there. But you'll be the one sitting up there whilst your guests get the soft seats down here. Because you see, Jesus always has room for more. But we have to go out and bring them in. And I'm sure many of you do that in your workplace or at college or school or with your family and friends and your neighbours and your social life. And everywhere you go, you're carrying Christ with you, aren't you? And I'm sure you're leaving. A lady that used to work for CAP used to always say, wherever I go, before I go, I pray that I can just leave a little bit of Jesus with them. What a simple prayer each morning. Just to leave a little bit of Jesus with the people that she'd come across. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here, really. Go out. Go out and bring them in. But remember that invitation. Is so important that they would come in. They're not going to come on their own. They're going to come when you bring them and invite them. But I get a sense of urgency in this passage. It's like, go on, do it now. Go for it, quick. Mate, are you listening? Go for it, quick. Get it done. Don't wait another 6 months. It's a bit like Jesus says, doesn't he, when he's sending the disciples out, don't wait for the harvest. Get out there now. The fields are ripe. Get out there now. Make the most of today. With the circumstances don't have to be perfect. Just go for it. Get out there and do it. I also have mentioned too that, it's not just about us going out. It's about us inviting people in. And I also sense in this passage a sense of generosity. A sense of generosity to those, not to make everything better for people, because that's not what this is about. but a sense of generosity in your love, a sense of generosity in your time, a sense of generosity, it might hit your pocket as well, a sense of generosity in what you can give in order to meet the need, not to pay their debts off, not to necessarily fill their cupboards with food unless they can't do it for themselves. But what can you give to meet those emotional needs? What can you give to meet their day-to-day needs that they have to work through? We've said that we want to make these folk a priority. And I'm asking you today, will you do that? Will you make these clients that Mick is going to meet over coming weeks a priority? Some of you might want to do that. And while you're thinking that through a little bit, we're going to watch a video about a lady called Edith. Edith was one of our clients in Northern Ireland. So CAP has centres all over the country. We have about 350 debt centres at present around the country. We also run things called life skills courses that help people who've just not had those basic life skills instilled in them. We run job clubs, and we run what was known as the CAP Money Course, which I think some of you guys have run, but now called Money Coach, and we've updated it, and it's a great new course. Lots of different ways to help people improve their financial setting. They are all over the country. Indeed, they're also in Australia and New Zealand and Canada and the United States, Southern Ireland. God has taken this thing from very, very small, humble beginnings in John Kirkby's, our founder's, in his back bedroom. And if you're interested in the story, you can have a book. I've got a few with me. Feel free to take one. All I ask is, if you're going to take one, read it and pass it on. Because it's a great little story of how CAP emerged and how it grew into what it is today. But let's watch Edith's story. This time next year, you'll have a real-life Edith. Well, a few real-life Ediths. But just before I wrap up what I'm talking about today, I said I brought my shopping bag with me. And I'm going to use my shopping bag to help you understand the process that Edith and many others have been through. So Mick will go out with one of you, whoever you are. We call them befrienders at CAP, and they're simply people who help Mick do his job, who get to know the clients just on a social level. And you'll take your shop, you'll get to the client's house, and the client will probably bring out a bag of something like this, and it'll be full of paperwork. It'll be full of bills, it'll be full of maybe unopened letters. In fact, they might have about 10 of these. There'll be loads of it. A lot of it is on their phone as well these days. And it'll be heavy. But what Mick will do is bring it all away, and he will sort through it, and he'll enter all the information onto our systems, and our amazing debt advisors at head office will put it into an incredible budget. And our budgets are a bit like a roadmap. They're a little bit like a map, because what they do is they give our clients a route out of debt. You're all trying to look at this, seeing where I've got, aren't you? Seeing where we're going. Yeah, I think it's a Northumberland one. Yeah, it's a Hadrian's Wall one. They give them a specific route out of debt. So every one of our clients has a personalised budget that enables them to become debt-free within a reasonable time and sets them on the road to a debt-free future. So it's a bit like a roadmap. And Mick will deliver this in person to the clients. But then after a little while, something else happens. Something amazing happens. Because after a little while, the clients, as Edith said, become debt-free. And this is what happens at head office. And all around head office in Bradford, we hear the tones of the harmonicas going. Every time somebody becomes debt-free, we celebrate, we give glory to God, and we celebrate another person has found some freedom. It's a very straightforward, simple process, but it doesn't stop there, because that's when you kick in. That's when you will continue those friendships, hopefully, with our clients. That's where you will invite them into what's going on here. You will bring them to church, or you'll bring them to social events. You'll include them in what is happening. And so I want to really ask you this morning, how might you become involved? There's a few ways. Firstly, will you pray? Will you pray for Mick and the team that he's going to build over coming weeks? Pray for the community out there that is in such need. Pray for the referral agents that Mick's going to build up relationship with in these coming months. Will you pray for your centre? Maybe some of you want to do that very, very specifically. Well, have a chat with Mick about that. The rest of you, do it generally. Do it in your quiet times. Do it in your house groups. Do it wherever is appropriate. But pray. It is the backbone of what we're doing here. Secondly, some of you might be thinking, I wouldn't mind going out and helping Mick. I wouldn't mind being one of these befrienders. I'm not a front person. I'm not a money person. I'm not really an evangelist or anything like that. But I can be a friend. And if that's you, will you have a chat with Mick today? Because he's looking for a whole bunch of people who will befriend us, who will support him when he's out on visits and get to know the clients just socially, so that they can be included in with this wonderful community that you are. And then thirdly, you might want to give. You might want to give a small amount each month to CAP, to our national service that we offer, to enable us not just to maintain what we are doing, but to be able to open new centres like we're opening here now, so that we can bring more centres on board, because the need is massive. So perhaps you could maybe give £10, £15 a month or less or more that you could commit to giving, maybe for a year, maybe a couple of years. If you can do that, we'd be absolutely delighted. And what we'd like to do in return, if you're able to give, is we would like to give you, when I find it, a small booklet entitled A Story We Can't Ignore. And we've worked with the Bible Society to produce this, and it simply talks about what the Bible says about poverty, what it says, and it's not all doom and gloom. It's a good news story. So we'd love to share that hope with you that's written in those pages. So if you'd like to give, we have some forms like this on the table just at the door there. I'll be lurking around there. Come and have a quick chat with me, and I can put you up to that if that's something you want to do. But, you know, finally, we've had a great morning celebrating Mick and celebrating the centre here. And I know Mick wants to share a few words as well this morning. So over to you, Mick.
Morning, all. Yes, as Julia said, CAP isn't just a one-stream organisation. It is a practical stream, but very much a spiritual stream as well. We try to get the people out of debt, but giving them the choices, like teaching them how to manage their money. And through the debt advisors, that we get a list of how their budget is going to work, and this is how what we do is we present that to the client, and the client will actually take that on board. We don't need any more Edith. Sorry. I can't stand here and watch a story like that without getting upset, which is why I'm here. I need to do this. Jan and I decided we were going to retire on New Year's Eve. That failed miserably. I gave the people the first time I went down to CAP head office. One of the new people that was starting the same time as me was actually talking about the fact that nobody reads the church bulletin. I read the church bulletin. This position was in the church bulletin. I was told this, I had to do this. I didn't have it. I didn't even mention it, Jan. That was just wrong. I should have said, but God literally poked me and said, "You need to do this." But yeah, and as Julia said, I need everybody on board, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through practical help with me, befriending, and any other practical way we can actually do this. This is a big project. I hope it's going to get smaller, but I can't see that in the near future, because poverty is growing all the time. And I find it so difficult to see people struggling, because I could have been in a similar sort of position. And it's something that it's laid on my heart. And the compassion that Jesus has shown all the way through the Bible itself in the New Testament, he never turned anybody away. He supported everybody. So we don't need any more Edith. But if I can help, I will. Thanks.